My name is Hannah. For some of you who don't know me so well, well, for you who don't know me so well, I joined the church in my final year at university. Then I went off to Cambodia for 6 years to be a missionary there, came back, and then I got a job in Birmingham. So I moved back to Coventry and joined Jubilee again in 2020. The last time I preached was actually in Cambodia, probably about 8 years ago or so. And it was a very different setup, a much smaller room. And I would have a translator next to me because, you know, sort of did translation as you go. And to be honest, that was my favorite thing about that setup because there was always somebody here with me as well. So I didn't have to be alone. But there we go. So today I'm preaching on, I realize, why do I have this? Yes, I'm preaching on Romans 8. And it's about living in the Spirit. And you know, sometimes you feel really nervous, but like, have I really prepared the right thing? And then something happens in worship. So for me, it was when, I'm really bad with names, Hugh brought up that picture about that mashed banana before it makes into a cake, and actually how God brings it all together in a cake for us. It just really helped to like, it's okay. I think I've done the right thing here. But my verses that were allocated to me were Romans 8, Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. And because they're not on the slides, perhaps if you want to, you could bring them up for you as well. So I'm going to read them from the ESV translation. So it goes, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Now, I've used the ESV translation deliberately because of how it translates it in verse 14. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Some translations will translate it as children of God, but actually for reasons which will come clear a bit later on, I think actually Paul is challenging us to remember that we are all sons of God, not just children of God as well. And I think that passage, it's really clear, isn't it? There's two things here. God wants to show us that we can relate to him as Father God, but also that we are fellow heirs with Christ. But there can be things that really get in the way of us being able to accept that truth and to live in that truth as well. So I'm going to be sharing my testimony, really about actually how God has broken through, how there has been healing in my life to help me to live that truth as well. Partly because the slides would have been helpful at this point, because I put a little warning out, because my story contains domestic violence. And if for you, you think, well, that's too much, I don't want to listen to this right now, you're more than welcome to put your headphones on, leave, I'm not that bothered. But hopefully it's a message that contains hope, because it is a message of actually how God has helped me to become more whole, and to live in freedom. So, four things really that I just want to highlight. One is about when I was baptized in the Spirit. The next one would be about being free from like hope, fear, rejection. But sometimes that inner healing revealing, oh wow, I've got some real big untruths here that I need to grapple with. And for me, that was a lot to do with how can I really trust God when he wasn't there for me before? And the things that really helped me were to do with being led by the Spirit, the Bible, which is the Word of God, fellowship with others, being in community as well, and also, in the end, just getting some professional help for it too. So let's look at the first two verses, which are to do with relating to God. So verse 14 goes, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Now, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 19, And for about a year before then, I was kind of like desperate to have that close relationship with God as Father that other people said that they had, but also for it not to be such a struggle to be obedient to God. The summer after my first year at university, my best friend at the time invited me to go to this Christian camp in Scotland, because that's where I'm from. And it was very charismatic. And I was so desperate to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, God, I'm not going to eat. So essentially, I'm saying, God, I'm fasting until you baptize me in your Holy Spirit. So fortunately, 2 days later, he did. And it was life-changing. I think when Andrew shared about how life-changing it was for him, like it just brought that assurance that he was saved, it was the same for me. I knew that God loved me, that he cared for me, that he was almighty, and he knew everything. So why wouldn't I trust him? Why wouldn't I be obedient to him? And part of that obedience for me was being an exchange student. I went out to America for a year, and I joined not a very charismatic church at all. But they were really hot on kind of brokenness and how we could live in freedom and wholeness and healing from that. And I had heard one too many preachers about knowing God as Father when we've not had the great example of an earthly father. And the student pastor counseled me just to take myself off and do business with God. So I did. I used 1 John to really help me with that. And so let me just find it. Hold on. So it was 1 John. I'll read it. And actually, the whole book is great because it talks about how God is love. But the passage, the verses that really stuck out to me were in verse 18. So, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And that really hit me. It's a bit like, well, God is love, God is perfect, and God is saying to me that his perfect love casts out fear. And if I am really to take God at his word, then he wants to cast that fear from me out, because most of my interactions with my dad had actually been really fear-based. I was really scared. Although I was baptized in the Spirit, I was still really scared of doing anything wrong, because I feared what verse it goes on to say, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. My experience had really been like if I did something wrong, there would be punishment and there'd be retribution. And so that was a blocker for me to really knowing God as my Father, because I was scared if I did anything wrong, then maybe God would punish me or something worse, perhaps. And so I thought, well, I've got to take God at his word. I've got to really believe this. But it didn't stop there, because it goes on to say in verse 19 and 20, we love because he first loved us. Okay, I could take that. But if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And truth be told, at this point, I might not say I hated my dad, but I definitely didn't like the fact that he'd walked out on us when I was 13, for example. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. And at this point, I thought, I really do want to love God. So I started to grapple with forgiveness, and particularly what it might mean to forgive my dad. And at that point, I wasn't entirely sure what I was forgiving him of. I wrote a really clumsy letter to my dad to say, and you don't do this in Korean culture. You don't say, by the way, I think you did this wrong to somebody who's older than you, and I forgive you. It was really clumsy because I said, like, I'm sorry that I'm bringing this up. And then my dad just sent me a letter back to be like, thank you, got your letter. But it was worth it, you know. I just thought, okay, I'm going to start to relate to God as Father and just try and realize and just let the word of God break free from not fearing punishment and retribution from God. And probably the second thing that really held me back from that was Now let's see, do I want to do it this way or the other way? No, no, let's go back. So, I'll hold that thought. There's things that you learn about forgiveness within a Christian family that makes you realize actually forgiveness is a pretty good thing. So, for example, Jesus forgave those when he was on the cross. The Lord's Prayer, forgive me as I forgive others, kind of thing. There's also, if I forgive my dad and forgive others, then I am letting go of that right to take vengeance for myself and to not let the root of like bitterness, anger, and resentment really kind of take hold of my heart and to live free from that, which is a pretty good thing, really, to be honest. And then here was a really big one. If God has already forgiven my dad, do you know? And that is an example of God's grace. God has already forgiven my dad. So who am I not to forgive him? You know, God has also forgiven me. So who am I not to forgive my dad? But that was when I was 19. When I was 21, I was sitting in a child protection workshop. And the workshop leader was talking about how 1 in 10 children are abused. And I, as you listed the different behaviors that abuse is, I just realized, oh, I'm that statistic. I am that 1 in 10 who have been abused. But that revelation was just far too painful for me to deal with. So I put it to one side. And I just thought, maybe if I can just live in the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I never have to deal with this again. I can just be, I'm a domestic violence survivor, and that is it. I don't have to deal with this. But the thing that I've learned is that if you don't deal with that can of worms, then it has a way to come back and just bite you. And it seems to be particularly so when God is, when you're pushing out, you're pushing yourself to do something for God, or you're really reaching out for something. Not said that very well, but you know when you like put yourself up to be like, okay, I'm going to try and do this for God. It seems to really come out then. So I was in Cambodia, and there'd been sometimes like when I'd gone through back into that can of worms and just picked up one thing after another. And after one particularly painful time, the revelation that came to me was, how can I trust God to protect me? Like, I can't trust God to protect me because he didn't in the past. He didn't protect me or my family. He didn't, others didn't come out to protect me. So how can I really trust God to be able to do that? So, and no matter, like, just my own reading of the Bible, my quiet times, being filled with the Spirit, talking to like well-meaning friends at church, seemed to be able to break that untruth over me as well. So I decided I probably needed some professional help at this point. And one of my friends had told me about a ministry called Restoring the Foundations, that's just like inner heart ministry as well. And I decided to do that. It's 4 days. And I would describe it as open heart surgery, but without any pain killers, like without the anesthetic. Because, and I think this is true, I'm not entirely sure because I'm not a doctor, but if you break a bone and it sets badly, then you need to kind of re-break it in order for it to be set again and for it to recover properly. But when you break it again, it's really painful. And actually, for this kind of inner heart ministry and this deep wound to be healed, God, well, what I needed to do was be able to feel that pain again and invite God into it to say, like, God, where were you? And he showed me where he was, which was amazing. And then to move on from my untruth of, well, how can I believe that God is protector, to a new truth of it as well. Now, it might be different for you, whatever that untruth is. But the truth that I landed on for me was that, let's see if I remember this. God's desire was for my dad to choose to protect me. And in his love, he removed my dad, and I choose to trust God to love me, to protect me, to nurture me, to comfort me. And part of my kind of therapy, as it was, and my rehab, was to repeat these truths, and there were several of them, these new godly truths, so it started to rewire my brain. every day. They recommended for a month, but you know, such a deep wound like that required more than that. So for 5 months, every day, I would just tell myself these new truths. And it started to seep into my body, so it would change how I would instinctively react to things, but also my behaviors as well. So you might think, was it worth it? Was it worth going through that pain to do that? I would say yes. On a spiritual level, it just meant that I could trust God to protect me. That was amazing. And that's part of what Father God wants you to be able to do. But on a human level as well, and this was something that I wasn't expecting. Ooh, we have slides, guys. It's very exciting. I'll do it, yeah. On a human level, I think what it really helped me to do was when I went out to visit my dad again after receiving that healing ministry, I heard my dad praise me and defend me, things that he rarely did, or I'd never really heard him do that before. And it might be that he had said those things before, but I was just too hurt to be able to hear them. It might also be that when I was having my healing ministry, God was supernaturally doing something with my dad as well, and it really shifted that dynamic there too. By the way, I just want you to appreciate my emoji of my can of worms. There we go. Okay, so we're going to move on to the second bit. So, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And I think that actually Paul is doing something deliberate there by using the word sons. Because, and I don't, well, in Korean culture anyway, sons are elevated and highly prized over daughters. In fact, like when I was born, my dad was so disappointed that he just said, oh, it's been born. But that rejection just went into me almost straight away. And in Cambodia also, they have a saying called like, men are gold, women are white, which means that men can do nothing wrong to stain their reputation. But women are so vulnerable, they can just do one thing and it stains their reputation. And actually, I think Paul uses that word sons of God deliberately to challenge the Greek worldview as well, which is where sons had a higher status than daughters. So he's saying to us, male or female, he's bringing us up to, we are all sons of God. And that's really important. And I share this with you, church, because if we want to keep reaching a people who are diverse and different from us, we also have to appreciate they will have different lived experiences. And that word son of God or children of God will have different meanings and will affect our ability to be able to receive that sonship as well that God has for us. But I like it that Paul then brings it to its logical conclusion. If, for example, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him too. So what does it mean to be a co-heir with Christ? Well, I think we have a lovely illustration here of what that means from the Bible. So the picture is of Jacob and Esau, who were twins. And in the picture, you can also see Isaac as well. Esau is the hairy one with the spear. And he was the eldest, and so therefore would receive the firstborn's blessing. And actually, Jacob really wanted that for himself. So one day, and if we think about it, Jacob was also Isaac's child as well, but yet Esau was the one that was going to receive that special blessing. So one day, Isaac, who's going blind, announces that he is going to bless Esau. So he sends him out to hunt and make some really good game stew, I guess. And in that time, their mother, Rebecca, dresses Jacob up in Esau's clothes and then essentially puts a hairy costume on him so that when Jacob goes in to receive the blessing from Isaac, who at this point, although he's going blind, thinks I'm being played here, he leans in and smells Esau on Jacob. And then he goes to feel him, and he can feel Esau on Jacob as well. And therefore, Jacob receives the blessing of the firstborn. Do you know what? In the same way, when God leans in to see us, or he smells Jesus on us because Jesus went to the cross for us, because of his atonement, where he was a substitution, we are therefore able to receive the blessing that God wants to give us as well. I find that picture really helpful to think of, actually, that when God leans into us, he can smell Jesus on us. He feels Jesus on us as well. He sees Jesus on us. And remember that rejection that I talked about before. One of the mantras that I came up with was how when I do ... God loves me. Even when I insert whatever sin you think that might be, God loves me. He accepts me. And there were several years of me just saying this, and I just felt God was just screwing his grace deeper and deeper and deeper into me. So that I just knew, do you know what? I am a child of God. I'm also a fellow heir with Christ on that level with Christ as well. So nothing I can do can separate me from God's love and his fathering of me. I think letting that truth really sink in, accepting it, and letting it change your lived experience and your behaviors is essential, because if anything, what verse 17 is reassuring us of is that we will suffer with him. We will share in Christ's sufferings. We will go through hard times. And I think it is so much easier to go through those hard times when we know that we are children, dearly beloved children of God. So it might be that actually you need to hear, as a fellow heir of Christ, you are precious, you are loved, God cherishes you, he adores you. I don't know what your family dynamics will have been, whether you felt like you were overlooked or you were the favorite, maybe you were the favorite. But it might be that actually you need to remember that God has plans and purposes for you like the firstborn. And I would probably say, like when I left Cambodia or was in the process of leaving Cambodia, I was so burnt out. And I felt like I was just walking out into this vacuum, and it was just such a dark place to be in. In fact, I've often called it like the dark night of the soul within there. But the picture that God gave me was of his hands just surrounding me in that dark place. And me, I mean, I can't really draw a picture of me, but I've written me. But you can see that God is holding me. I'm not holding on to God. God is holding me. That's God's grace. He's holding me. I don't have to do anything. I didn't have to prove anything to anybody. But God still loved me. He accepted me for my past self, my present self, my future self. He totally had me. He got me. So church, I think Romans 17 says we will share in Christ's sufferings. But actually, the whole of Romans 8 is one of asking us just to keep on keeping on, keep on enduring in the full knowledge of how God loves us as his children. So I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And what I had meant to say, and I forgot to do this at the beginning, is if there's stuff that I've brought up today, oh no, wait a second. Yeah, if there is stuff that I've brought up today that you think, or that, yeah, I probably need to deal with this unbelief, or this is really blocking me as well, I'm not going to do a public ministry time at the end where people come forward, because I want to keep you safe, but I need to keep myself safe as well. And in preparing for this message, like I knew that I was doing this topic for about 3 weeks. It's been really hard for me, and I am not the right person to pray for you today. But I hope that this message has brought hope to you. If you know actually you need some help, Andrew, also James, they can lead you to the pastoral team to get some help with that too. It may be at work or at university. There are people that you can go to get some professional help. It might be as simple as just telling somebody who you trust, who loves you, that you've got something that you want to work through with them as well. It could just be as simple as what it was for me, taking God at his word through reading the Bible, and letting the power of God just break in and break through with those untruths, and then daily reminding yourself of that as well. But if, while I've been sharing, you realize, do you know what? Those who parented me did a really good job, then at the end, why don't you send them a message or call them just to say thank you and to appreciate them?